Welcome to Friday Night Party Line. I'm your host, Victor Frost, and this episode we're not going live. So we're kicking a little bit old school. I can't remember the last episode where we didn't do live. It must have been at least a year ago. But we do have a fantastic panel of guests as usual. We have the awesome and slightly enigmatic Nelson Pecora. Hey, Nelson, how's it going?
It's going interestingly.
Interestingly. How so?
Well, if I told you, I wouldn't be very enigmatic, now would I?
This is true. See, you guys, in this occasion, do not have the opportunity to see him, but he is smoking, and he is looking rather dapper at the moment.
I'm wearing a t-shirt.
You're breaking the illusion of radio, Nelson.
I have a funny story about this t-shirt. So, visual gag.
Visual gag that you guys will never be able to see.
It's black, but there is a white stencil outline of a bomb, like the big black circle with the wick.
Like a comical bomb, basically.
Yeah, and like inside of the bomb, as if it were a space helmet, there is a picture of a ninja lady, like her face.
Yeah.
Basically, this place I was working a while ago was a web design studio, and one of our developers, she made a site for this company, and a year later, the company got hacked, or thought they got hacked. So they called us up one day, and they're like, you ruined my site, you ruined my business, you put a bomb in my website, which was ridiculous and also untrue. And the next day, we had these shirts screen printed, and it's her as, like, the bomber lady putting a bomb in the website.
That's a cute little story. That's nice. Our next guest that we have on the show is a Friday Night Party Line veteran from all the way back in season one, Viga the Odegal. Hey, Viga.
Hey.
Are you still doing the Odegal podcast?
I ended that back in probably 2011 or 10.
But you have that awesome Tumblr that you're doing now.
Yeah, basically, all I pretty much do these days is do comics. I did a webcomic for 2 years, Panelberg. Now I'm just kicking back, working on some stuff for print instead. And I do this web series called Viga Loves Comics. But the camera broke, so it's on hiatus.
Ah, if memory serves, you also did a guest comic for Johnny Wander at one point?
No.
No?
I wish I did. That would have been cool.
Memory serves poorly. And, well, we don't have a Cherba for this episode, but we do actually have a handy message he has sent us in his stead. So I'm gonna push some buttons, bleep some bloops, and engage the robo-Cherba. You ready?
Engage.
Here we go.
Hello, listeners. Viga, Nelson, Victor, and anyone else who's joined us on the show. If you're hearing this, I'm obviously not here. It's quite early in the morning as I record this, and I've just pulled an all-nighter for work, so I'm probably, to use the technical term, suffering a severe loss of separation with my bed. Normally, I'd just pull down a few cans of energy drink and soldier on, but I just couldn't wring out the extra 5 hours this time around. At least while remaining coherent enough to do the show. Which really is saying something, to be honest. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I'll try and get some bonus content out for you between shows, and you will definitely see me, or at least hear me, on the next Friday Night Party Line.
Oh, that was sweet.
Aww.
I have no idea what bonus content he's planning to do. Honestly, Cherba just goes off on his own and does interesting stuff, but I'm sure as hell not going to stop him. So, we'll have to see what our good Australian friend comes up with in his absence between shows. So, let's get started. We got got a couple of topics, but most of the show is going to be kind of easygoing. Loosey-goosey, lackadaisy cats. And let's start off with some breaking news. Friday Night Party Line being recorded on September 26th, which is actually a Thursday. We have a bit of breaking news. Well done. NASA's Mars rover Curiosity has found water in the first sample of the planet's surface. How awesome is that?
Awesome.
Mars beaches.
Mm-hmm. Disney's Mars Beach Resort Hotel.
Well, I mean, if there's ever going to be any discovery of underground water deposits, it would certainly make for an interesting time for those schmucks that are going to Mars and never coming back. Ooh, let's talk about that.
Basically, the whole thing is one big let's reference Waters of Mars Doctor Who episode for me.
Oh, yeah. You know what's really cool about there being water on Mars?
I don't know. So what's
besides
really
cool? The fact that there's fucking water on goddamn Mars?
Yeah. The obvious awesomeness, what is it?
It means we can hypothetically terraform it.
Ooh.
And that's one thing I've really been looking forward to in our progress as a society. Terraforming planets and branching out.
Yeah! I mean,
it's the other frontier.
It would be pretty cool to kind of, you know, take care of the atmosphere part of Mars first, you know, the magnetic field that protects it from the terrible solar flares and...
Well, that's the thing, like...
coronal mass ejections.
We don't really need to do that much to change its magnetic field, and we really can't do almost anything to change its magnetic field. But the fact that we can use water that's on Mars to make air and make fuel is super big. Because, I mean, I don't think we'll ever truly terraform it, because I don't know if that's even physically possible. But having habitats on Mars that are self-sustaining could be an actual thing now.
It would be nice to get a couple of, you know, big-ass reactors up there first, though.
Feel like we need more big-ass reactors in all of human endeavors.
We need more big-ass reactors in general. I'm sick and tired of the stifling nature that is the public reaction to nuclear technology.
I was promised a micro-scale thorium reactor in every home.
Who promised you that?
I don't have one yet.
What?
The 50s, popular culture.
You mean the same popular culture that said the Jetsons was in the 20th century?
And that jetpacks would be thing by now?
Jetpacks are a thing, and they're awesome, if expensive, and also very dangerous.
Yeah, which is why the dream of commuting to work on your jetpack is basically a non-starter, much
the
like
future,
many jetpacks.
Well, if we perfect autonomous flight, which we won't in the next few years, but I think the drone people are working on it pretty hard.
Oh, they are working so
hard.
We
could have autonomous jetpacks. Because, I mean, I don't trust non-pilots to fly things, pretty much in general.
Yeah. I don't really trust other people on the road. And that's only working in two dimensions.
Autonomous vehicles. Because, I mean, didn't the Jetsons have autonomous jetpacks?
No, George Jetson was basically piloting that thing.
Well, he was an idiot.
Well,
every other person there who led regular lives that weren't, you know, crazy enough to be on television were probably using their autonomous jetpacks and being really safe. And their robot butlers and maids never did anything wrong.
Rosie was a putz.
Have you seen the, what was it? The robot chicken that was mixed with iRobot.
What?
And
what?
Rosie was a murderer.
I could see that.
It's a robot chicken thing.
She has a bit of a hell thing going on. What was the AI from System Shock?
I don't know. I never played System Shock.
Me neither.
The kind of weird... crazy lady AI.
You're asking us for information about a game neither of us have played.
It's topical. It's from this century. No, actually, wait. 1997, I think.
It's from last century.
It's from the last century, yeah. Nelson. Get with the times.
It is almost the 20s. Do you know how how weird that is for me, who is someone who is somewhat enamored with the 1920s?
Yeah.
The fact that when I...
No, go ahead.
Oh, the fact that when I say, oh, something, something, the 20s, people will be like, you mean this year? And I'll be like, no.
No. I'd love to see Electro Swing come back in full force by the 2020s. It'd be great.
Oh, man, I'm totally going to buy flapper dresses and shit.
That would be awesome.
So moving back to Mars, let's talk a little bit about the Mars, I think it's called the Mars One Project, where they want to send people to Mars, but not have them come back.
I feel like it's a publicity stunt. I want it to be real, but I feel like it's a you know the words I'm thinking of.
Publicity stunt.
Yes.
But what could it be a publicity stunt for? The way they're going to fund it is apparently they're going to make it into a reality TV show. The first
reality
TV. Yeah, that's their funding
model. That's not
a
joke? I thought
no,
that
that's
was a
not
joke.
A joke. That's their funding model. They're going to make it a reality TV series on Mars.
You can't see me, audience, but I'm facepalming.
It's the best thing ever and also the worst thing ever.
This has got us.
To think the first televised broadcast of humans on Mars could be Big Brother Mars Edition.
Today on Mars, will Jennifer get her hairbrush back from Benji? Can this family cohabitate together for the next 100 years? And who's pregnant? Find out now on Mars.
Who's going to commit? And you know, this thing is going to be a generational thing, maybe? That the idea is there are going to be generations of these people on Mars? So you kind of have to wonder, at what point are the people here on Earth going to start thinking, hey, wait a minute, isn't all this hanky-panky incest?
Wait a minute.
It's incest.
This is the Truman Show on Mars.
Well, except the Truman Show, the whole point was it was centered around one guy, and he didn't know it was all a show.
Yeah, but now it's just one family.
Well, it's not one family. It's a collection of strangers.
Like the Sopranos.
Sopranos. We're just making the worst show ever by tossing out all these things.
No, you know what? I can almost guarantee you that this episode is going to be one of the more downloaded ones because it is so off the rails. You know, it's not even on rails anymore. It's Doc Brown's hover train. That's what it is. I don't know. I mean, honestly, part of me hopes that they do, that they are able to go to Mars, like actually send people to Mars. On the other hand, I kind of feel like NASA, United States government, come on, people. let's get our game together. Let's get people to fucking Mars.
I feel like the only way to really fund this and get private investors is to make it a reality show.
Yeah. Or be China. China's creating a space station in the next decade. Their own space station.
Fine, we're gonna have our own space station.
They also want to send people to the moon, which I kind of applaud.
I'm okay with that. I'm totally all right with that.
The first Chinese person on the moon, I think?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, weren't all of the moon astronauts pretty white?
I'm pretty sure they were
also
all
men.
White. I'm pretty sure they were all white men.
I'm trying to think of one who wasn't, and I can't.
I'm going to look up a list.
I feel bad for whoever was on the moon who wasn't a white man, but history forgot you.
Yeah, pretty much history forgets a lot of minorities, unfortunately. Da, 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 da,
da. Let's see here. Apollo astronauts who walked on the moon. Let's see. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, of course. Pete Conrad, Alan Bean, Alan Shepard, Edgar Mitchell, David Scott. Looking. Yeah, these are all...
Edgar Mitchell? He was an Irishman.
Yeah. Let's see. He was also a Navy man. Let's see here. There are only two people in the entirety of the list of people who have walked on the moon who are specifically part of the NASA service. Neil Armstrong and Harrison Schmitt.
Schmitt.
You could shave a schmitten. That was terrible, and I apologize.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah.
I want to walk on the moon. Or pretty much anywhere not Earth.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You know, Pluto Mars could become a thing.
That would be cool.
I mean, walking on the moon, living on the moon. I mean, it's close enough, for Christ's sake.
Question. It's right there.
Yeah. Have you seen Nothing Lasts Forever?
No.
Or it might be Nobody Lasts Forever. It's a movie that came out, and it's in so much legal limbo that it'll probably never be released. But part of the story is that old people retire to the moon, honestly. Or they vacation on the moon. And there's reason for that.
Have you guys ever read Old Man's War by John Scalzi?
Mm-hmm.
So, in Old Man's War... Their Earth doesn't have a lot of contact with its colonies throughout throughout the universe.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of kept in the dark, both technologically and informationally.
Wait, did you say it was on the moon?
No, it's on Earth.
Okay, all right then.
Well, it starts on Earth.
Go on.
Basically, the colonial union recruits old people on Earth to fight in its wars against, you know, aliens and stuff.
Because old people are going to die anyways, that's the idea.
Yeah, and what they do is they promise that you'll get a new young body and you'll, you know, be superhuman and fight and, like, protect the human colonies in the great, you know, solar system.
Of course, it's all a lie.
Well, it's actually true.
Huh.
Like, they do basically... you know, clone and sort of genetically engineer a new body.
What a twist!
But the thing is, because fighting aliens is so different than fighting other humans, the number of people who survive their full term of service, like, I think it's like 5 years or 10 years, is basically like 1% of the people who join.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that actually makes sense. I mean, we know how to kill each other very well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to kill other... there are a lot of other things we don't know how to kill so much. Zombies, for instance. Difficult to kill.
We know how to kill zombies now.
Well, yeah, it depends.
Honestly, if there was a zombie apocalypse in real life, we'd be fine because we could be able to take them out.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I got one word for you guys.
Hmm.
Airstrike.
Well, I'm worried that if I'm just walking around one day and I see someone covered in blood who's like limping towards me, that instead of helping them, I will basically run at them and bash them in the head until they stop limping towards me. Just as a precautionary measure.
What are you insane? That man just came out of a serious car accident.
Like, seriously, if someone was stumbling towards me with their arms outstretched, like, help, I honestly don't know what I would do. I would have to pause for a second.
Well, I mean, if they were saying help, Nelson, you would be clearly in the wrong, because everybody knows zombies lack the cognition required for real speech.
Well, true. I mean, like, if they were kind of moaning. Like, if I couldn't make out what they were saying. Yeah. Okay.
Erg, arg.
Well, that's just a pirate. Pirates can't be zombies.
It's a pirate zombie.
I finally got around to reading World War Z, or World War Z for our international audience. It's pretty good. Like, I for some godforsaken reason, I decided to watch the movie one night. Because I was like, oh, I heard good things about the book. The movie might be pretty good.
No.
No. Negatory, yeah, Megatron.
I heard they were wildly different and people weren't too fond of it.
Well, yeah, yes. Because the book is done in a sort of documentary, you know, interview style versus the movie, which is just an action-adventure zombie movie.
Yeah, I really like the book. Like, I don't really like really popular books very often. But I think World War Z was pretty good. I really liked that kind of interview structure. It felt very different than a lot of, not only, you know, zombie books or, like, apocalyptic books, but kind of popular fiction in general.
You should listen to the audiobook version. It's really good.
That would be cool.
They produce it all the way. That's the first time I consumed that content as an audiobook.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, Viga, you wanted to talk about the thing with the place with
the stuff.
Yeah.
Audiobooks.
Viga, why don't you, Viga? Okay, so audience, we have suffered. I basically injected my ears with a wall of very uncomfortable noises, which could be at best described as feedback, and at worst described as Ragnarok in the form of audio. And while I'm kind of still recovering from that horrific noise, Viga, would you please?
Okay, so basically what we're referring to is the shooting that happened at Navy Yard. Now, to put this into perspective for you, I live in Southwest D.C., pretty much very close to Southeast D.C. In fact, I'm pretty much three blocks away from this event. And, you know, with shootings in America, usually it's something you hear about on TV, something you hear about on Twitter, something you might have an opinion about later on. But this was very different for me because it's in my own backyard. So having this happen at a place where you go get Slurpees, how strange is that? Like, it goes from being something you're detached from to something that suddenly directly impacts you and you're like, wow, it's such a different feeling. Basically, it's like, hey, everyone, don't leave your house for the next few hours. Can't really leave your house because it was the point where we wasn't sure if the shooter was left. Was he around in the neighborhood? Was he still there? It pretty much gives you this type of feeling of confusion. You're just like, why? Why did this happen where we live? Why did this happen here? And it kind of just makes you think, you know, people are going to think so differently about where you live now. People are going to have all these misconceptions now. And the thing is, my friend put in an essay, mlpomo.blogspot.com. He did an essay on this, my roommate.
We will link this in the show notes.
About basically how it's just kind of heavy when it's in the place where you pretty much walk every day, where you go to the bank, where you go to get a Slurpee, where you go on a jog. I would go jog around that area all the time. Or just sit by the river and watch the giant battleships because Navy Yard is right there. What news won't tell you is that violent crime has actually been going down. And it's been going down a lot. Second, the way they hype these events makes the entire city or neighborhood seem like this horrible, dangerous place for a time. Because just a while ago, like about two decades, decade and a half ago, D.C. used to be the murder capital. And it took a lot to get that, well, stigma off of D.C.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, not like being in proximity of Congress at the moment doesn't make me feel a little bit murdery, But
That was
only a joke. It was not to make light of shootings, just to make that clear.
No, I know.
Just to make that clear, it was merely a joke. A little bit of levity for the God, what was it? What was it called when Colonel Pierce Hawkeye, Captain Pierce Hawkeye would do it? What is it?
Gallows humor?
Gallows humor. Thank you. Just a little bit of gallows humor. You can tell I've been watching a lot of MASH recently.
Do 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 do.
Yeah, MASH is great. MASH is one show I wish that would be on Netflix.
Alas. MASH is perfect at dark humor at times.
Yeah. I mean, hey, actually, that actually kind of ties in pretty well, because you were talking about how the news portrayed the DC area as if it was a sort of a war zone going on in there. And versus MASH, which is designed to be an entertainment television show, shows the dark side of the Korean War.
Well, the thing is, when you're in those type of situations, sometimes you use humor to help, well, lessen the madness. Sometimes I used, like, whenever I saw cops or firefighters do it, I always got kind of mad. Like, dude, really, are you gonna say that? But at the same time, when I was in darker situations, I did make a joke or something just to stay sane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my old journalism teachers, he told me that, you know, reporting in California, there is a fact that there is a 99% chance that you're going to at some point have to report on a baby that was on a baby that was left in a car during the summer. And he was saying that, you know, what journalists here call those kinds of stories are crispy critter stories.
Oh, my God.
I know. And it's to me and you, who, you know, don't have to deal with that or might not see that, it's, oh, my God, how morbid is that? Those poor babies, and you're calling them crispy critters. But it may be a way to alleviate the emotional impact of the severity of the situation.
Crispy critters.
Crispy critters.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Let's think of a worse one.
Oh, God, I clipped.
Burning babies.
That's a bit too obvious.
No, that's too literal.
Yeah, okay. It needs to be like it needs to be alliterative and possibly rhyme.
Bouncing baking baby bunker.
Okay, we could work with that.
That's too long. Yeah, but I mean, that is a way to deal with, I mean, especially situations that come close to close to home. I mean, there was a lot of, I mean, there was a, I saw this clip at one point of a comedian who shortly after 9/11 started making jokes about terrorism, and people in the audience laughed, and he laughed, and it was a really cathartic sort of way of recovering from such a terrible ordeal. I don't know.
Question for both of you. What do you think about the too soon thing?
You mean about things just being too soon?
Yeah.
I generally, I mean, it really depends on both the context and the tone of what, you know, the joke in question.
Yeah.
Like, something, there is a bit of time where less or more crass jokes are acceptable. Like, for example, there's a picture that I think came from 4chan. It is a news broadcast of New York City on 9/11, and there's just, you know, smoke billowing over Manhattan. And the kind of news subtitle is marijuana legalized in New York.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, I'm so going to hell.
We're all going to hell when we die. And
that's something where the crassness of that joke, if you did it, you know, on like a day later, it might be a bit, you know, too soon. But nowadays, it's, you know, that crassness is sort of acceptable.
It's so soon, it's not too soon.
I like how South Park lampshaded this by doing an episode where they're like, okay, it's like, it's been 10 years since 9/11. We can finally make fun of it now. Or it's like, it's only 10 months. It's like 10 months before we can make fun of 9/11. And in that same episode, they had basically Al-Qaeda taking planes to go against the Army of New Jersey.
The Army of New Jersey?
You know, I don't know who I'd root for in that situation.
Wait, New Jersey has an army?
It was an episode where New Jersey was taking over the U.S. and they were about to descend upon South Park and fighting it.
And wait, people live in New Jersey?
At the end of the episode, they killed Osama bin Laden.
People live in New Jersey?
Well,
I know, right?
It's not just a strong word.
I don't know how many listeners live in New Jersey, but either they're laughing or they're shutting off the show.
No, I love New Jersey. It is a wonderful, it's a wonderfully expedient way to get between the Manhattan metropolitan area and the DC metropolitan area.
As opposed to, say, a bridge just cutting straight over New Jersey?
It's a very beautiful crater of Earth that nothing ever lives there and nothing ever will. Because we got rid of it years ago.
There's a good sushi restaurant in Princeton. That's about it. That's all I've got. That's all.
Okay, so
where's Hoboken?
Hoboken? Hoboken, or Hoboville, as it is referred to by its residents, is basically just across the water from Manhattan. It is close enough where the people who live there and work in Manhattan will say, oh, it's really close. I can commute every day. It's no problem. But no one will ever come and visit them.
So Hoboken is in New Jersey then?
Yes.
Okay.
Although they like to think that it's part of New York, it is not.
It's like people in Arlington like to pretend they're part of D.C.
You know, I got to tell you, Rhode Island is basically South Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Rhode Island didn't even have their own Major League Baseball team. We have a minor league team, and it's the Paw Sox.
Yeah.
That sounds so...
It's so sad.
Dorky.
What we do have, though, is the Rhode Island School of Design's hockey team named the Scroats.
Have you ever been to TF Green Airport?
I have.
The few times I've been there, when I would fly to visit Providence, I would fly into Boston.
Logan. And then you take the 95 down to Rhode Island.
Exactly.
Right.
Like,
which is what any sane person would do.
I have been to the TF Green Airport a handful of times. It had less security than the Manhattan, what is that thing that goes on the water? Not the shuttle, but the
ferry?
The tours.
Ferry?
The ferry, yeah. Like, the Battery Park ferry terminal has more security than the entirety of TF Green Airport.
TF Green is good like that. I mean, when I first came to visit California before I moved out here, we flew out of TF Green.
I didn't know they had planes that could go that far.
Well, they don't. We flew out of TF Green to Logan and then to California. It's just closer to home, so that's what we did. But TF Green is a good place.
It's quaint.
That is a word for it, quaint.
I mean, Rochester's airport is larger than TF Green.
My phone just
And it's officially international due to having like one flight to Toronto every day.
Well, I mean, it's close enough. I mean, you could take like a Cessna to Toronto.
Yeah. They used to have this thing called the Fast Ferry. which was a brilliant plan by the governments of Toronto and Rochester to have a ferry that would go across the lake, and it would only take about an hour, I think. It was really quick.
Uh-huh.
The only problem was a lot of people from Rochester went to Toronto, but no one from Toronto ever went to Rochester.
I don't want to go to Toronto.
I don't want to go.
People don't have spoons in Toronto.
They don't have stairs in Toronto. They don't have stairs.
People don't have faces in Toronto. I don't want
They only
to
eat
go
edible
to
oiled
Toronto.
Products. I don't like donuts. I only want bagels. I don't want to go to Toronto.
I just don't want to tax on my weekly goods.
I don't want to go.
We have devolved into Toronto now.
Well, you know what? It's this was the show. This was the palate cleansing show.
It's the breather episode.
This is the breather episode before the biannual QI show and the show where we actually start getting a little bit serious about things again. And it's okay because, I mean, although I wish we could have had Chirba on a wacky show like this one, but I'm glad I got you guys here today because you guys are fun too. Although Chirba could have probably tossed in a few swear words and some crazy stories about Australia.
If it's any consolation, I could just say the word fuck about 12 times.
Oh, could you?
Fuck, 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 fuck.
Well done. Well done.
Yay.
See, Chirba, we've come up to your quota. He listens to the show. Even when he's on it, he listens to the show.
I should listen to the show. I think I've listened like twice.
I don't even listen to the show. I mean, you know how I edit this show normally? Music in the front, music in the back, set it to render, and we're done.
My mom listens to the show.
Your mom listens to the show? Hi, Nelson's mom. Vega, say hi to Nelson's mom.
Hey, Nelson's mom. Hey, Mrs. Nelson. If it's any consolation, I listened to the show back in the day, but I haven't since the Victor age. I'm sorry.
Ooh, that's not a consolation at all.
Wow, that's like...
I know.
That is like...
I used words wrong. I'm sorry.
That is stone cold.
Oh,
that is colder than stone.
Ow.
Stone is actually not that cold.
Vega, you cut me to the wick. You cut me to the quick.
I love
Victor,
you.
Victor, no one says that anymore. That phrase is dead.
Oh, says the guy. Says the guy who you smoke cigarettes with one of those extendo pipe thingies.
Mm-hmm.
That's just class.
Yeah, but in terms of not doing things anymore, I think that's kind of up there.
Would it hurt my case if I said that if I mentioned the fact that I also own a typewriter?
No, actually, if I could own a typewriter, I would.
Wait,
I like
old school typewriter or like 70s, 80s typewriter?
Yeah, digital.
No, like 40s.
I'm okay with that. Awesome. I mean, when I type, I use a distraction-free writing environment, and I always set it so it plays the typewriter sounds when I type. Mm. So I'll be sitting in the library, and I'll have forgotten to turn off the sound, and all of a sudden, ching, 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 ching.
I want that now.
It's great. Go get Right Monkey.
I'm totally gonna put that on my laptop.
I'm gonna add that to the I'm gonna add that to the show notes. Right Monkey.
Because I've been writing more. Because I'm trying to practice writing so I could, well, of course, make better comics.
Right.
Because you know, storytelling's important. So I want to be a better storyteller.
People overlook that.
Yeah, it's not just all like pretty faces and bodies and shit.
Yeah. Jokes have to be written before they can be drawn.
Yeah, I kind of made the mistake of diving into making comics without writing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is why Panelberg was not that good.
I was going to say, it's not all dick wolves and transphobia, but I think it might be too soon.
Oh. Oh. Nelson, I think you broke Vega again.
Oh, I leaned back so far laughing, I accidentally took out my headphones. It's just dick wolves.
Dick wolves. Ah, so let's get this, let's close down the show. Close out the show with some things we've been liking very much recently. So, Nelson, why don't you start? What have you been liking recently? If you guys want some time to think, I can go first.
You can go first.
Yeah, I have a lot of things, so you two go first.
All right. So, one thing that I've been liking one thing that I got to see fairly recently was I got to see the Muppet movie that has yet to been released. But yeah, I got to go see it. Which is one of the advantages of living in Los Angeles. We have Nielsen is right here. So we get to go to Nielsen Movie View screenings, and I got to go see the Muppets Most Wanted, which may or may not be a working title, but I think it's going to be the final one. And it is really good, and I've been quoting it a lot recently with my dad and my little brother, who both understand because they went there with me. But for anyone else who has seen it, I can give you what you want. It has a Kermit the Frog has a Russian doppelganger.
Nice.
Yes, his name is Konstantin, and he wants to take over the Muppets. But anyways, it's a really good movie, and I've been kind of every once in a while I sort of descend into the Constantine voice, which is Constantine is hilarious in his own way. Ricky Gervais is in there, as is Tina Fey. Tina Fey being her usual hot self. She's playing the commandant of a Russian gulag in Siberia. But it's a really fun movie, and once it comes out, I do recommend you guys all go see it. I'm gonna go see it again because when I watched it, some of the special effects weren't completely finished yet. There were some wireframes and some green screening that needed to be fixed. But it is full of funny jokes. They even make fun of Disney's vertical integration. Not vertical integration. What is it? It's synergy. Disney's synergy integration going on there with the cross-branding stuff. And it was a really good movie. And I recommend y'all to go see it when it comes out. This month, though, this October, I am planning on going to see a couple of movies, though. I'm going to go see The Voice, which I'm really excited because if you haven't seen it, it is about the life of an aspiring movie trailer voice talent. And I'm gonna go see the Battleship Yamamoto video. I think that movie. I think that's what it is. That's coming out.
Space Battleship Yamato.
Yeah, Space Battleship Yamato. It's actually going to be opening in Los Angeles on my birthday, so I'm going to go see it downtown LA. It's going to be fun.
Lucky. I'm so jealous of everything.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's not actually coming to the East Coast at all. It's going to be in. It's going to be in Los Angeles. It's going to be in Honolulu, in San Francisco, and in Canada. So.
I'm totally just going to go rage your, like, go over your place and tell you, okay, we're going to see movies all day. Can't get out of
here. So, yeah, movies. Okay, so which one of you has managed... Where did Nelson go? Nelson!
What?
He's physically disappeared. His chair is empty. So, Vega, I guess it comes to you. What have you got?
Okay, so basically what I've been into lately, I'm really getting into, I just started reading Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere. I love it so far. And it's pretty much... reading his stuff, because I always liked him. I read some of Sandman, I haven't finished it yet, but I want to read more of his prose stuff, because the more you read, the better you become as a writer. So, I decided, you know what? I'm going to go for some Neil Gaiman. Because mostly when I read books, and I read a lot of books, but most of the books I read are usually nonfiction, like history, or how to do something, or about a topic. So since I haven't read fiction for a while, I'm kind of trying to get back into that. Also, anime. I've been high on Attack on Titan. Oh God, it's most likely gonna be get a second season. Who are
Everyone
we?
Everyone wants me to see that show. I don't want to see that.
I gotta check that out.
I don't want to see that.
It's very good things.
Give it 5 episodes. If you don't like it by then, you probably won't.
But that's 5. But is it half hour episodes or hour long episodes?
Half hour.
Okay, that's 2.5 hours of my life. I could instead put that 2.5 hours to The West Wing.
West Wing's a good show. I gotta actually watch more of that. But
are you saying that the first 5 episodes are lame and then it gets good, or that the first 5 episodes are emblematic of the show? That's very different.
I feel that the first 5 episodes basically can represent the show in terms of what the show's about, what are they fighting against, who are these characters you're going to be seeing, and basically the twist that makes the series different from other shonen anime. It's not of watch the first 5 episodes because in that 5 episode it gets better, but more of this represents the show as a whole, I think is a great representation, so I think you should watch those first 5.
Much like how you should not watch the first 2 episodes of My Little Pony, watch the 3rd through 5th, and then if you like it, you like it.
Yeah, or watch the first 3 of Monica, and you'll see what type of show this is going to end up.
Or watch the 5th episode of Cowboy Bebop, and then just keep watching the 5th episode of Cowboy Bebop.
Which
forever.
One was that again?
That was... I think that was the one with... the woman who was smuggling drugs in a belly.
Oh man, that episode was so good. Red Eye.
Yeah. Red Eye. Red Eye.
Yeah, so it's one of those. Also, in terms of anime, Watamote, which just ended. It's a show that I don't recommend totally watching, but because it's kind of could be triggery for some and just kind of weird for others.
Triggery?
It's a very much an otaku show.
What do you
show.
Mean, triggery? What do you mean?
Well, the show deals with... The main character of the show has extreme social anxiety. Possibly some sort of other mental illness. They can't talk to people at all. They have lots of problems with being around people. And basically every single symptom you would see for someone who suffers from that or someone who's been in those situations can be a bit triggery, or you relate too much to it that you just can't watch it. For some people, they watch it because it's schadenfreude. You're seeing this person try to socialize or try to make her life better and fail at it.
Aww.
You just watch it for that. Me, it's just kind of interesting how they would make this this character a main character, because usually they would be a side character.
Yeah.
Or a pet project for another character.
Pet project for the main character.
Exactly. Huh.
Well, I mean, on that note, if you like anime and you like shows about otaku, a couple of shows you could watch are Genshiken.
Oh, the new Genshiken season just ended. That was pretty good.
Okay. And Princess Jellyfish.
I recommend that highly. I love that series. Although the manga continues it, and it's a show that should have been continued.
Oh, does it? I kind of need...
Yeah,
I really...
You can get them on Scanlations.
I'm going to read the manga because I really liked Princess Jellyfish. I like the...
Yeah,
it gets really good later on.
The
older brother is, I think, one of my favorite parts of that show.
He gets some great moments in the manga that I wish made it to anime. That anime needed a second
season.
Wait
a minute, you mean the moment enough with the in the hotel with the nope, wasn't good enough?
He's just excellent, but Tsukimi can sometimes steal the show from him, too.
Mm. Well, Nelson, you're the last one left. What's got you happy-dappy this month?
Yeah, so some old things and some new things. I watched a little bit of an old anime called Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei. which is also a show that deals with strange people and their strange problems.
Wait, isn't that the teacher that tries to hang himself a couple of times?
Yes. It's basically a show about why, like, picking out problems in modern Japanese society. Oh. Well, in Japanese society in general. It's got a lot of in-jokes and a lot of puns, but it is very, very well done. Like, the comedic timing is brilliant, and the art style is, like, the pacing and the art style really go together well. And it's got this kind of, like, undercurrent of darkness in it. Like, if you watch the opener and the closer, they're both very different than at least the initial episodes. In other things...
In other news?
iOS 7 came out, and I'm not super excited about it as an operating system, because I've been using it in the betas or the developer or whatever's for a few months now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am excited about is
that
now...
Wait, you paid the money to use it as a beta?
What's
you
up?
You paid the money to use it in beta?
I paid the money to develop apps for iOS that I still haven't done, but will hopefully in the near future.
Okay.
But what really gets me excited is that, so when it was in the developer builds, you couldn't release apps, like updates to the App Store, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it is out, I just got pretty much every app on my phone updated with a new design and new functionality, and everything seems new.
Nice.
Super cool.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
Yeah. The OS is pretty good, but the, like, it was basically Christmas. It was like, you have 100 updates, and they're all super awesome, and they all fix all the bugs that were in the old apps, you know, running on the new operating system that I've been dealing with for, like, months.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Is that it? Okay.
I'm trying to pick one more thing.
One more thing.
Something book related. So let's see. Look up John Scalzi. Actually, I don't know if his first name is John. He writes Old Man's War. It's a very good series.
Okay.
I recently finished that. But I'm starting on a new series, well, a new book, that is called something that I am going to find out because I'm going to take a look at my Kindle because I forgot the name of it. It is Werner Vinge's A Fire Upon the Deep, which was kind of the original book that had the idea of the kind of like singularity.
I thought Ray Kurzweil came up with that. Ray Bradbury, I think. Ray something.
Probably Bradbury, but Werner Vinge had the like post-scarcity aspects, I believe. And it starts off being very... It felt very much like Warhammer 40K. Like, super futuristic, but the technology was melded with religion and with, like, priestly kind of ritual a lot. So there's that going on.
Uh-huh.
And in the second bit that I'm at right now, there are aliens. You know, the ship crash lands with the humans on it, and there's aliens. But the aliens are...
Aliens.
Like, hive minds. So each alien is composed of many different organisms. Like, they look sort of like dogs. So there's, like, you know, a pack of dogs has this hive mind that is the alien. And it's interesting just reading the language and being like, you know, what refers to what? Because the self, you know, refers to the alien's mind. But, you know, they talk about, like, you know, the alien has different members. And the members are the individual, you know, dog, wolf-like creatures.
Okay.
So a Fire Upon the Deep.
All right.
It's pretty good so far. I'll tell you how it is when I finish it.
All right. Okay, well, this has been a delightfully laid-back episode of Friday Night Party Line. I'd like to thank both of you, Nelson and Viga, for taking the time to come onto the show. Viga, I would very much like to see you on the show again. You have been a fantastic guest.
Thank you.
So hopefully we'll get you back onto the show. And I think that's that sort of wraps it up. So thank you all for listening to episode 71 of Friday Night Party Line for September 2013. And hopefully we'll catch you back on in a month when we have our Halloween episode. See you next time, folks.
A new shop opened up on the corner of my block. I thought it was a bodega because they bodega.
Bodega.
I thought it was like a regular bodega.
But let's actually hold on, let's this is kind of going to be a laid back, really, really laid back. Wait, why am I explaining myself? I can edit that out.
Yeah, weren't we talking about Mars a second ago?
Yeah, we were talking about Mars a second ago. Yeah, hold on, I'm going to do something funky. I'm going to do something funky with my microphone here because I'm getting really low signal from you guys.
You were saying, Vegan?
That was a bad idea. Wow.
Okay, I can't hear you. One second.
Audience, we have killed the Sonic somehow. I apologize for
wow.
that.
Coincidentally, he was killed by something Sonic.
Gotta go deaf. Gotta go deaf.
You should have made your internet screen name like I don't know, blowjobs and pie. Oh my God. Have a better death. Oh my
God. Holy fuck!
I think Nelson just broke me.
Oh my God! I was.
I can't even follow that up with anything. It's just too.
Why? Okay. Just hold on a second. Because I'm gonna switch recording devices now that I don't have to play anything into the podcast. Oh my God. God, that was so loud. My God, it was so loud. What? Just a second. You have no idea how loud that was. Okay, I'm recording again. All right, that's good. That's good. Okay. All right. Okay, so, what were we talking about again? I don't even know.
I think we were making fun of you for a while, and then me and Nelson started talking about food.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. All right. All right, so...